Lakers over the Thunder, 128-99, the final score. Lakers just dominate in that three-game road trip. Handle the Houston Rockets two games in a row, and then take care of the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is the part of the Lakers schedule that you want to see these guys just take complete advantage of. And I know I've kind of mentioned this, but it's one thing to win by a couple points. It's another thing to dominate like the Lakers did, and just no question about it in these last three games. Lakers control everything. And by the way, they do it on the defensive side. I think that's what you want. It's a very cliche that defense wins championships. I understand that, but it's the truth. And we saw the Lakers last year. It was their defense that kind of set the tone. Their defense is what eventually got them in flows on offense and everything else. And I thought tonight, just another good example. I'm almost trying to lump these last three games in together because I think there's a lot of common threads here with the Lakers. OKC shot 32% from the three-point line. They ended up actually 11 turnovers, not bad for the Thunder. Lakers only nine, actually had seven at the end of the first half, so only two in the second half. But statistically, if you really kind of look at it, a 31-point lead for the Lakers at one point, ended up winning by 29. I don't know how you can kind of look at this game and ask for anything more. AD only had to play 25 minutes for you. You had contributions. Montrezl Harrell, 21 and 6 off the bench. Dennis Schroeder's been great for the Lakers, 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. By the way, how about Marc Gasol? Gasol last night, 2 blocks and 2 steals. Tonight, 4 blocks and 2 steals. For a player, by the way, that has got, you know, some criticism that I've heard from Laker fans, I hope these last couple games there's a lot of Laker fans saying, okay, I could see how as the season progresses, he's going to continue to be an asset for the Lakers. Obviously, we know smart vet. At one point, he was Defensive Player of the Year. Okay, he's not that Marc Gasol, but he could still come in and give you some solid minutes. KCP had 10 points for the Lakers, so Markieff Morris, 11 points and 7 rebounds. Great balance from the Lakers. LBJ has always led the way. LeBron, 26 points, 7 assists, and 6 rebounds. Was 9-20 from the field. Played 27 minutes. Let's get LeBron James' thoughts on the Lakers. 128-99 win over the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Hey, LeBron, 3-0 trip. You guys were up double digits for most of it. What was the consistent theme that allowed that to happen?
Defense. When we defend like that, it gives us an opportunity to get out and do what we do best on offensive end. That's get out and run, get in an early transition. And, you know, we had a low turnover game. So, you know, we combine with our defense, with our execution offensively and our precision. You know, we're a really good team.
Calgon?
Hey, LeBron. Just wondering about your reaction to a big trade in the NBA, James Harden. Going to the Nets, what do you make of that sort of shift in the NBA?
Don't really have too much of a reaction. You know, obviously trades and things happen every year. And, you know, for me, you know, my main focus on what we do here and how we continue to get better. And that was the case today. You know, the trades happened today and I couldn't allow myself to kind of indulge in that knowing that we had a team that we had to play tonight. So my main focus today was on the Thunder.
Brad.
Brian, when you made your last three over Roby, who were you looking at in the stands? Anybody at all? And did anybody catch you again?
I don't know, man. It was actually somebody up there, but I was actually looking for nobody. I mean, I'm just, you know, visualizing us having fans back in the building again at some point. You know, it was great to see some fans in Houston. You know, so, you know, me playing a game that I love to play and then along with the fans, you know, something I dream about all the time. So even when I'm on the floor, just try to let them know that we miss them. And that was one of those moments.
Any bets with anybody this time?
Say that again.
Any bets with anybody this time?
no bets today. You know, so we see what happens in the near future.
Bill.
Hey, LeBron, you guys, basically had three wire-to-wire wins on this trip, all you know, really emphatic wins. How good is this team already to you, do you think? And what is your fun level? You know, if there was a fun meter for you personally with this group and with this team and at this moment in time with the way you guys are playing, where's that at?
Well, we want to continue to grow, and I believe we got better, you know, on this road trip. Our camaraderie and our togetherness continue to grow, both on and off the floor, you know, and we want to continue to build off of that. You know, it's not much, you know, practice time, but we use the plane and the bus rides and the you know, the meetings that we have on the road and things of that nature, and we just continue to build, and we continue to hold each other accountable. And it's fun when you play for one another, you know, and you have a selfless team. So, you know, I think all of us are having a good time right now, but you have a good time when you win it. And that's what's the most important. You know, when you win and you also learn from your wins, that's fun. And we want to continue that.
Kyle? You have another question? Okay.
No.
Dan?
Oh, okay. Thanks, T. Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Hey, LeBron. We've talked a lot probably over the last year and a half about your team and film sessions and why they're so good in them. And there's obviously a lot of high IQ players. What makes Frank so good in those settings? That's where he got his start, obviously, cutting film with teams. Like, why is he a good kind of, navigator through a film session?
It's all about detail. You know, it's very detailed, very organized, and straight to the point. We know exactly what we're getting out of it. You know, if it's an offensive day or if it's a defensive day or if it's a fast break, if it's an offensive rebound or we're giving up defensive rebounds or a transition, we break it down in all facets of the game. You know, as football will say, offensively, defensively, and special teams. You got to be good at all three facets, and we do a great job of doing that during film sessions. And it starts with Frank and the coaching staff.
Dave?
Ron, what does 7-0 on the road mean to this group? Obviously, last year you didn't play a full road schedule because of the nature of the season, but I think it was the third best road record percentage-wise in the league history. That DNA has carried over to this team.
We just have a bunker mentality when we go on the road. It's just us. And obviously, it's even more just us because of the restrictions and the COVID and everything that's going on. So we come together even closer. So. You know, we go on the road, we understand that it's going to be, challenging and different because we're not home, staying in hotels and things of that nature. It just allows us to zero in even more.
Last question, Michael Duarte.
Hi, LeBron. To piggyback off what Dave just said, is the COVID protocols in place and having to just basically stay in the hotel and go to the arena and not having fans in the arena, does it make it more of a level playing field when you guys are playing on the road? Is that another attribution to the success on the road?
Yeah, I mean, it's listen, it's all about execution and your level of focus, and you got to be able to at times you know build up your own energy. And like a night tonight, after we coming off a back-to-back, this is 3 and 4 nights for us, coming off a back-to-back in Houston last night, getting in late to OKC, and coming out into an arena with no fans, you gotta prosper your own energy from your group and yourself. So we had to do that today, and our bench was great to start. Our starters did a good job of getting the energy going, and everybody just had a key point in us having energy as a group, and it allowed us to get a good win tonight.
All right, that's LBJ right there. Lakers 7-0 on the road this season. It's the best start in franchise history. Want to make sure if there's some Laker fans in there or out there that want to chime in on this game, 877-710-ESPN. When we come back, we'll take some of your phone calls, we'll read some of your tweets, and we'll go to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Lakers all over the Oklahoma City Thunder, 128-99. Really wasn't a game at any stretch. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's George Hill coming back the other way. Hill down the middle, shovel pass to Baisley, puts it up, no good. Blocked by Marc Gasol. Length of the court pass to LeBron. Look out! Tomahawk dunk to put the Lakers up 16-4.
Defense to offense for the Lakers, 128-99 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Defensively for the Lakers, Marc Gasol, 4 block shots and 2 steals for Gasol. Another solid defensive performance for him. We know Anthony Davis has been carrying the load on defense, but tonight was all Marc Gasol. The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance. And only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. We give you more options, unique offers, and exclusive opportunities to get you the coverage that you need at the best price. Visit SaveWithAdrianas.com today. Adriana's Insurance, more options, no contracts, just savings. So another big win for the Lakers. Another when I say big win, I literally mean by a wide margin, because it's not a big win against Oklahoma. Oklahoma is now 5-7 on the season, which actually I'm a little bit, or actually 5-6 on the season. I'm impressed they're even at 500, just because of Michael and I were talking about this. I mean, I think they got, John Ireland was saying in the pregame or maybe even during the broadcast, 18 first round picks between now and 2027, 13 second round picks. So this is a team completely rebuilding. The best player they got is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. See how Shai Gilgeous did tonight. Only 17 points. You only had 3 guys scoring double figures, or 4 guys scoring double figures. So the Lakers really had the Thunder under control the entire game. And it's good to see. I mentioned this, and I'll probably continue to emphasize it. It's great to see the Lakers not have to have LeBron and Anthony Davis play 30 minutes in a game that's, you know, should be a blowout. And it was a blowout, and that's 2 straight games that they played under 30 minutes. So certainly something that we can keep an eye out on. All right, let's get Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Let's get his thoughts on the Lakers' 29-point win over the Thunder.
Hey, Frank, it seemed like you had double-digit leads for much of this road trip. I just wondered how that impacts the way that you coach. Are there things that you can try? Are there different things you can look at in addition to limiting minutes for guys like LeBron and AD?
No, it's really just about winning the game, you know, and when you get a bigger lead late into the third, into the fourth quarter, then you start thinking about, you know, like you said, managing minutes and making sure guys are not overdoing it, giving your main guys an opportunity to rest. But also, you know, giving guys like tonight, Mark and Keith, not typically in their garbage time, but just an opportunity for them to get a little extra run. More rhythm and more conditioning, all those types of things. It's an opportunity to get your young guys, you know, put them in certain situations. You want to see them, see what they can do. So there's definitely benefits to it.
How would you compare this start on the road? And I know it's difficult to compare to last year, but you guys had won the 17 straight games in Eastern Road Arenas. What is the difference in this completely different environment?
Yeah, I mean, and the no fans thing is, you know, I think road teams league-wide are having more success than usual. You know, so that may be a part of it. But our group just has a mindset, you know, to be great every time we touch the floor, you know. And we want to have a sense of urgency, and we want to develop the habit of playing harder than an opponent. And, you know, I think we saw that, you know, definitely with the 7 games that we started on the road, but in particular on this trip, these last 3 games.
Dave?
Frank, what's the characteristics of this group that allows you both last year and this year to have so much success on the road?
Well, I think we have defensive talent and IQ. You know, I think we're really working hard on that side of the ball. You know, if you have a chance to defend with elite scorers like we have in Anthony and LeBron that are willing passers and, you know, a great support group around them, you know, if we're playing to our abilities, we have a complete team. And, you know, obviously it gives you a great chance to win on the road.
Kyle.
Frank, I know some of these circumstances just change from trip to trip and opponent to opponent, but kind of given the way that you guys finished the last trip in Memphis, where very tight games, maybe some cruise control in some of those parts, do you feel like there was growth in how your team kind of conducted themselves through this road trip compared to the last?
I just think we're getting better. You know, we're getting our legs under us. You know, we're learning each other. Every time we're on the floor, we build those relationships on the court, offensively and defensively. And like I said, we're getting our legs under us. So, you know, I think we played better on this trip than the previous trip, even though we won in both situations.
BT.
Thank you. How you doing, Frank?
Good, BT.
Good. You guys shot almost 46% from three-point range. What's the key to that? How is that happening, especially tonight?
Well, it starts with, I think, with the way LeBron's shooting the ball from the perimeter. You know, that gives us a burst in that statistical category. But we have a deep team that a proficient three-point shooters, and we're continuing to grow our shot identification. What are good shots? What are bad shots? Our team is trying to work for shot quality, not forcing, and trying to be efficient in everything we do. So, if we're focused on high quality threes, we're going to shoot a high percentage, and I think that's what we've seen so far this year.
One of the things I've noticed, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, one of the things I've noticed with this Lakers team so far, very early in the season, you only got 72 games total, Lakers already 13 games in. But one of the things that I think it's fair to notice is they got a lot of unselfish players. And when you have unselfish players that understand, all right, we're here for one mission. We're just trying to win an NBA championship. And I think Coach hit on a couple things. I don't think Marc Gasol is going to worry or complain about playing time. I don't think a Markieff Morris is too concerned about that, or a Montrezl Harrell. So I think there is something to what Coach is mentioning and some of the unselfishness that this Lakers team has. By the way, you look around the NBA, not every team's got chemistry. Not every team are they in a position to, obviously compete for a championship, or if they are in a position to compete for a championship, not all of them are pulling that rope in the same direction. So far for the Lakers, not a shock or a surprise, but 10-3, solid start, best record in the NBA. Let me squeeze in a quick phone call here. Let's go to Max in North Hollywood. What's going on, Max?
Hey, Alan, longtime fan. Love your show, man.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask, do you think with the trades that happened today, and obviously I don't think, we need a big drastic change, but do you foresee anything as far as like us getting any type of players coming in? I just wanted to get your take on that.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. So, of course, look, this was I was prepping for the pregame show, just kind of starting to prep and everything else, and the trade started going down, and it was really interrupting my prep. Not going to lie. Very, very disrespectful from James Harden. No, obviously the big deal, the Brooklyn Nets get James Harden. Look, there's a couple things on this trade where I don't think the Lakers need to, make some knee-jerk reaction. But no question about it, the Brooklyn Nets are the favorites in the Eastern Conference. And no question about it, if the Lakers face the Brooklyn Nets in a 7-game set, there's star power everywhere. And, I hear a lot of people saying, for those who are not all that crazy about the trade, I hear a lot of people talking about, you only have one basketball and each one of these guys are playmakers and need the ball in their hand. I actually disagree. I think KD has already proven that he has no problem sacrificing his game for the betterment of the team. He did it when he was with the Thunder. He obviously did it with the Golden State Warriors. James Harden, I think, will flourish with KD and Kyrie playing beside him, because I don't know if he wants to go out and shoot 30 shots a game. I think he did it in Houston because that was just the smartest thing for that, for that squad. But I think he will adjust his game. The question's going to be Kyrie Irving. When we come back, I'll continue this conversation. Should the Lakers be concerned about what the Brooklyn Nets, by the way, if you got a thought on that, 877-710-ESPN, should the Lakers have any concern with that Brooklyn Nets deal that's bringing James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets? We'll talk about it when we come back. Plus, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Thank you for being a part of the show. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lakers over the Thunder, 128-99. Lakers now 10-3 on the season. Points in the paint all season long, sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory direct high quality VistaPaint products. A VistaPaint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956. VistaPaint. Lakers 56-48 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. One of Michael's keys to the game. He talked about that. He emphasized how the Lakers should just dominate down there. And really, if that would have been much more lopsided if AD played 35 minutes, but he played 25 minutes, and that's what you're hoping for. I will tell you something. Montrezl Harrell is just such a beast down low. What a beast down low. I mean, he is the definition of an undersized big man that plays bully ball. And he does it as good as anybody in the NBA. You know, I've mentioned this, and I'll probably continue to mention it. I love, if there's one thing that I do love, it is so great to see the depth that the Lakers have on the bench, because these last couple nights are good examples. You rest your, you know, rest your starters, or at least rest LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But there's true talent on that bench. I mean, fantastic talent on that bench. I think yesterday, Lakers, aside from the bench, just the role players in general. So I lump Dennis Schroeder in there, KCP, all these guys. Just so much production that it doesn't have to all be on LeBron and AD's shoulders. And this is a very important theme all season long. So we got to have that, you know, obviously for the entire year, because of this big picture that everybody has in mind for the Lakers. Okay, so had a caller calling. Max from North Hollywood was talking about if the Lakers need to make some type of a move now that the Brooklyn Nets picked up James Harden. I'm not one to say that I don't think that that's – there are people out there that don't think that that deal is all that great for the Brooklyn Nets, and they say it because you got three players that are ball dominant. It would be an embarrassment if the Brooklyn Nets don't come out of the Eastern Conference now. No disrespect to Philly, no disrespect to Boston, no disrespect to the Milwaukee Bucks, but you got – I mean, you got Kevin Durant, one of the best players in the world. Wherever you want to put James Harden, we obviously know how important, how big of a player that he is, a former MVP. And then, you know, the question is just going to come down to Kyrie Irving. Is Kyrie Irving – I know he's not playing the rest of this week. Nobody really kind of knows what the deal is with him and what's going on inside of his head. But what I will tell you is that's going to be a solid team. I'd take my chances with put superstars on your team and try and figure out how to make it work from there. That's exactly what the Brooklyn Nets are doing. All right, let's hear from KCP. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 20 minutes tonight, 4-6 from the field, ends up with 10 points and 3 rebounds. Here's KCP.
Hey, Kentavious, what was the key for you to just seemingly keep your rhythm from when you went out with an ankle to right back the first time that you played on this road trip?
Just being confident when I got back into the lineup, you know, not knowing, I mean, just knowing my first game was going to be up and down, trying not to let the missed shots, whatever was happening out there, you know, get to me. Just try to continue to remind myself, man, let's stay in a good rhythm, you know, shoot when I'm open, you know, and play defense.
How were things different in that starting lineup with Schroeder and with Mark in it compared to what you were used to last year?
I mean, Dennis is always, you know, up the floor, you know, picking up full court. You know, he even come up and tell me, you know, hey, let's pick up full court. You know, I like that about him. You know, he's very defensive minded, you know, and you know he's one of the engine that get our defense going as well. Mark is you know tremendous as well. You know at the basket, you know he's deferring shots, you know blocking shots, you know making shots hard when people drive, you know steal strip downs, you know just being there, being in the right place. You know he's 7 foot, so it's hard to shoot over that. You know. Now, once we get the rebound, we out in transition, what we best at. I feel like just adding them guys, you know, is really like amped up our defense a little more.
Dave.
Kentavious, you guys are doing really well on the road to start this year, a franchise record 7-0 start. Are there any challenges, though, to playing on the road, whether are no fans or limited fans, like in Houston, can you even compare this to a road streak that you would have in previous years?
No, it's very different, you know, different arena. You know, they allow fans like Houston, like you said, and it felt a little different just even having them there, you know. But, you know, we could feel a little energy, you know, from our fans that we had there, you know, which was good. You know, we interact with them a little bit. And then just traveling from there and then come play with no fans, it's very challenging. You know, you out there, you can hear everything, you know, all calls. So I feel like it's challenging to still have some fans in the arena because you still get that noise where you can barely hear, you know. But, you know, I feel like I like it best without the fans. I can hear everything.
Kyle.
KCB, obviously you guys were in Houston last night and you were guarding James. How surreal is it to kind of go in just a day-long span of going from coming off a second straight win in Houston, having a good performance against James and them, to seeing the trade that kind of shakes up the NBA landscape today?
Well, I mean, for us, you know, we wanted to start our road trip off right. You know, and we came in with the urgency of just, you know, we're going to be aggressive and we're going to play Laker basketball. I mean, we knew Houston is a team that could try to outscore you offensively. But we knew we had to come in with a mindset of we're going to defend first and then get out and score the ball. And then the trade, I mean, no one knew it was going to happen that quick or whatever happens. But, I mean, we all knew he wanted out. It wasn't a surprise that, I mean, it made it happen.
Brad.
Contavious, you guys almost shot 46% from three-point range tonight. Shot the ball pretty well this season. What's happening with this team? What's allowing you guys to be so efficient shooting the threes?
Making the extra pass, you know, and just, you know, when we open, we take the open shots. You know, I feel like just making that extra pass, getting everybody involved that, you know, to be able to shoot the ball. You know, I feel like, you know, it's just the chemistry that we have on the offensive end. Like, if we're not open, it's the next pass, you know, and we look for that extra pass to get a shot, either touch the paint, you know, kick out for three. It's kind of hard to guard, you know, when Dennis, Bron, even AD is touching the paint the whole game and kicking it out for threes, you know, we just got to be ready to knock them down, and we've been shooting at a high clip.
Last three,
Jovan. Hey, KCP. I'm curious. I mean, this was the most dominant three-game stretch of the season for you guys. What, if anything, do you feel like you learned about this team?
I mean, no matter what, you know, we pull them for each other. You know, we learning on the go as we play in each game. Learning each other, you know, learning new defensive schemes, offensive plays. And I feel like this group is, you know, is a sponge. You know, everybody is tied, is bought in. You know, they're listening, even though we're learning on the go. And just, like, I feel like we're just being there for each other. You know, the chemistry is, I mean, it's there. You know, we got room to even make it grow even more. Just fun being out there with them guys, you know, learning each other, you know, and just playing.
All right, that's Contavious Caldwell-Pope right there. I want to do this when we come back. I think it's important to talk about that Lakers chemistry this early in the season. Plus, next couple games for the Lakers. So they got two home games before they go on a six-game road trip. So we'll look at the schedule coming up, and we'll hear from Montrezl Harrell. So stay right here. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. I'm Alan Sliwa, and this is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Lakers taking on the Pelicans tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing Brandon Ingram, or I'm sorry, on Friday. Looking forward to seeing Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. Still not sure if Zion Williamson's going to play. Before we start previewing the next game for the Lakers, let's take a quick listen here to Montrezl Harrell. Montrez, another 21 points and 6 rebounds tonight, 8 of 12 from the field, 25 minutes, just a solid, solid performance from Montrez. Here's Montrezl Harrell on another Lakers win.
We were just talking to KCP, and he just said that, you know, his confidence is through the roof. He doesn't feel like he has to prove anything. When you've talked about how comfortable you are with this group, but when you look and see other teammates that feel like they've settled into roles and are very comfortable, how confident of a group is this, and how comfortable of a team is this, despite only being 13 games into this season?
Honestly, I think this is an extremely confident group. I think we all kind of know our roles, and, you know, guys just do a great job of feeding off one another. You know, coach always talks about it. You know, we got to build our own energy because this is not the normal that we will be in a season, or, you know, in the way of life in general, man. So we got to, you know, just be able to adjust to all the different surprises throughout the season, really, man. So I think we're doing a great job of that, man. But like I said, everybody here is just, you know, having fun, man, playing together, and just, you know, enjoying, just building off one another, trying to get to the end goal.
Dave?
Trez, under normal circumstances, going to a road arena and facing that energy or the atmosphere of opposing fans could make the game more daunting. But some of your teammates said that actually the energy of having fans in Houston helped, you know, put wind in your guys' sails. So do you think your guys' road record this year is even an accurate reflection of the difficulty normally when you'd say a team is 7-0 on the road? Or can you even not really compare it because it's so different?
Honestly, at the end of the day, man, it's, you got to respect it because we went out and played the game. No matter whether the fans were there or not, can't no fans score a single basket or, you know, make a single defense possession. So at the end of the day, we went on the road and we still carried out our game plan, both offensive and defensive, to win the game. So I don't care if fans are in there or not. That has nothing to do with, you know, what's going on between those four lines. So, you know, I don't pay that any mind. We came out. We've done a great job on the road thus far, and we're just trying to continue to keep it going.
Kyle?
Trez, you mentioned before the trip how you were excited to go to Houston where you got your start. How tough is it, given the protocols that you guys have and the new rules that were just added on the other day, to go to a city where you have that kind of history, and I'm sure you have connections and really have to turn people away, I suppose?
More so it's more so a connection as far as me. It's not really more so just as far as the city or, you know, trying to really more so link with people or anything like that. It's more so that, you know, this is where I was able to have my first opportunity to hear my name called to be able to come into this league. That's more so what I was talking about. And it was just good. It felt good to be back in general because, you know, every time I go back to that city in general, you know, the same whether I played last year with the Clippers, man, it just, you know, it's going to be that feeling because it was, you know, two places that took an opportunity and a chance on me, and I was able to go there and kind of, you know, help build my career to where I am now. So that's more so what I was talking about and, you know, harping on. So it just felt even better that they was actually allowed to have fans who was able to get out there and, you know, just play the game that we love, man, in front of a somewhat normal setting that we was accustomed to.
Hey, last two questions, BT.
Trez, you seem to make this transition look very easy. Has it been easy for you? And what's been the part about that's making things so easy for you to play with these guys?
Yes, it has been easy because I don't got to come over and do nothing extremely different from, you know, any other time I was in this league or, you know, the previous years I've spent in this league, man. I'm on the floor, like I said, I've told people numerous times I've been on the floor for majority of my career with, you know, great players, man. And I just do the best I can to make their game, make their lives as easy as I can. 9 out of 10, I just reap the reward, and I just try to keep harping on my game and keep bettering my game so those guys have the, you know, confidence in throwing it to me when those guys are, you know, in a situation where they need help. I'm not doing anything different than I would normally do in my game, what I would normally do in the summer. It's just, you know, I guess you guys are now seeing it all come and unfold. So I guess it's more shocking to you guys than myself because, like I said, it's not anything out the normal that I would be doing if I was working out in the summer or playing in any of the leagues that I play in.
Last question, Ferdinand.
Hello, Montrez from Puerto Rico. After a James Harden trade, do you think it's good for the league competition to see teams form super teams?
I'll be honest with you, bro. I don't know what a super team is. That's not my opinion. I don't have anything to do with that. I'm more so had a question about tonight's game. I don't know what's more so going on around the league. It's not happening in our locker room, brother. So, you know, it's not really up for me whether I feel that, you know, super teams should be made or not. It's for you guys to decide, brother, man. I'm doing what I do. It's playing the game.
All right, that's Montrezl Harrell right there, and trust me, there'll be plenty of conversation about that James Harden deal to the Brooklyn Nets. So, all right, let's preview a little bit. Lakers and the Pelicans, so that's the next game coming up. By the way, right after the postgame show, Scott Kaplan coming up next, so do not forget. We'll be live till 10 o'clock tonight. Scott Kaplan will continue the conversation about the Lakers, continue to preview the big football games coming up this weekend, including the Rams and the Packers. So make sure that you stick around. All right, if I'm in the rhythm here of plugging, tomorrow Lakers talk 7 to 9 p.m., so keep that one in mind as well. So Lakers got the Pelicans, and Pelicans, just so you know right now, they're sitting at 4-5 this season. Kind of I don't really know how to describe the Pelicans. They've lost three games in a row. Incredibly young team. They're a team building for the future. Of course, Zion Williamson is the franchise, but Brandon Ingram's a very nice player, and we know that just obviously watching the Lakers over the years. But Zion did not play or is not playing in this game going on versus the Clippers right now. So Clippers with a big lead, and that has a lot to do with it. And he's, is still checking to see on the COVID-19 protocol. So we're not sure if he's going to play on Friday. If you guys listen to the pregame show, Michael Thompson wouldn't stop talking about how disappointed he was if Zion can't go. But that's the next game for the Lakers. And after that, you got the Golden State Warriors, another home game against the Golden State Warriors. And then you go on a six-game road trip. And is it seven games? A seven-game road trip for the Lakers. Milwaukee, Chicago, the Cleveland Cavaliers, Philadelphia 76ers, Detroit Pistons, Boston Celtics, and the Atlanta Hawks. So you got some good competition out there. And I think that's going to be a good test for the Lakers. I'm not trying to overlook this game against the Pelicans, certainly not overlooking the game against the Golden State Warriors. Warriors, after starting the season really, really poor, have come back these last few games. I think they're a game above 500 at 6-5, so you can't overlook the champions in Steph Curry and Draymond Green. But handle business, and then you go on this seven-game road trip. So I think it's going to be an exciting couple weeks for Lakers basketball. We'll really see what this team is made up of. Okay, coming up next, it's Scott Kaplan. Scott Kaplan Show. He'll go till 10 o'clock. Lakers all over the Thunder, 128-99 the final score. Lakers now 10-10 on the season. Lakers now 7-0. It's the best franchise start on the road. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Pete's Out Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.